Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Monday, March 30th, and today's readers are Carrie W. for the 12 Steps, Alice G. for the 12 Traditions, Penny L. C. will read and comment on our share, and Robin P. will close this out with page 164. Then Alex K. will greet newcomers and Shelley E. We'll close this out with some announcements. Thank you all for your fabulous service. So appreciate it. The reference number for yesterday's special edition is 23322. That's 23322. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time for March 30th, is 23323. That's 23323. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Carrie W. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Carrie W. from California. This is the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, we humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Carrie W. Alice G., would you please read the 12 Traditions of OA on page 562?
Good morning. Alice G., recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. The 12 Traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much, Alice G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the back of the book on page 567, reading Appendix 2, starts with the terms and ends with contempt before investigation. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading for us.
Yes, thank you, Elaine, and good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Spiritual Experience, Appendix 2. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With a few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unexpected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it, quote, God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. Quote, there is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer. And so what Herbert Spencer is saying here is that, you know, I need to be open-minded, right, and willing to look at this and be considering how it may affect me and how I might need to change. So in reflecting on this passage, it's talking about whether it's sudden or gradual. And then I know that for myself, it was gradual. It was of the educational variety, so to speak. I came in earnest to study the Big Book after years of half measures. And what I found was the truth of needing a God of my own understanding, as is promised to me in the Big Book, that I can do that. And this personality change that I was seeking happened over time. I mean, I've been doing this recovery work in earnest for, gosh, over 15 years. So, you know, it morphed, shall we say. I transformed over all those years and continue to. But here we're talking about also to understand that some can happen, you know, in a revolutionary form. And that would be like Bill and Abby, as described in this book earlier. And yet most of us, as it tells us, need to have it develop over time. And so these transformations are available to us, to each of us, each of you out there. If you haven't experienced yet this change, trust that it is there for you and can happen when you do the work that is yours to do and trust and rely on a higher power. I know that's what I've had to do and continue to need to do one day at a time. To be able to continually tap into that inner resource that I am blessed to have. Knowing that I need to create more God awareness and connection, and it's mine to do, my work to do. And I can recover, and I have recovered one day at a time. So long as, you know, I choose to know that when I began studying the Big Book, there was a new way of life for me, and I have found it. And
gentle reminder,
forgive this scattered share right now, because I had prepared for a different paragraph, so this went through me off a bit. But I will just say that I am grateful that as a result of one day at a time, I am blessed with the freedom I always hoped for by connecting to the higher power that is there for me always. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much and appreciate your service and your share. Okay, though we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on the last couple meetings, we would love to hear from you.
We'll take a lineup. Who would like to share?
Jerry E.
Oh, my goodness. I heard a couple people, but I didn't catch anybody.
Jody E.
I heard Jody E.
And Teresa C.
Teresa T. And
Laura
Mansfield.
Laura. And what was your last, first initial of your last name?
V as in victory.
Okie doke. And I heard, who else?
Nancy LJ.
Nancy LJ. Anybody else? Let me tell you who I've got. Jody E., Teresa T., Laura V., Nancy LJ. And who was that who just shared their name?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
And Wendy M.
Wendy M. Anyone
Barbara
else?
G.
Barbara G. Okay. Last call? Well, not last call. We'll call again. Okay. Well, let's go with that. And please, if you share, let us know where you're calling from. Jody E., followed by Teresa T., Laura V., Nancy LJ., Deborah G., Wendy M., Barbara G. Please share with us, Jody.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E. So very grateful to be recovered in California. This is a beautiful passage about spiritual experiences and how sometimes they're sudden and sometimes they're gradual. And I've been blessed to have both types. But what is the important thing? The important thing is that I change. Whether it be sudden or gradual doesn't matter so much. What I'm looking for is a psychic change, a change in my basic motives and thinking patterns. Before I got to these rooms, I was very insecure, very disconnected from my higher power, not aware of my connection with my higher power, and that made me very afraid. Very insecure and consequently self-centered because there was so much fear. But once I realized that I had a higher power, that my higher power loved me and wanted to help me and be there for me, and I started to work the steps and get abstinent gradually, I did start to change. I became just a little bit more confident. And when I had my sudden spiritual experience, I became quite a bit more confident that indeed there was a higher power out there. So whether you are experiencing the educational variety or the sudden upheaval, doesn't matter so much because you're going to change if you work these 12 steps and if you get abstinent from your alcoholic foods, you will change. Working these 12 steps, they are a program of action that we take that changes us in fundamental ways and that makes us more secure, less fearful, more wise, more peaceful. We have more serenity. We can see our path ahead so much more clearly. So again, quick and sudden or slow and gradual doesn't matter so much as actually working these 12 steps abstinently. Because if we do that, we will change. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jody E. Teresa T., you're up next and you'll be followed by Laura V. Please share with us, Teresa. Let us know where you're calling from. Star one to unmute. Teresa T.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. This is Teresa C. from New Jersey. I am a compulsive overeater and food addict. just this reading brought to me a hopeful feeling, as many of the readings, maybe all of the readings in the book do. I have been out of the program for quite a while and coming back to the program now. And I've always felt this thing about spirituality. I've always felt like I've had a good relationship with a higher power. But somehow, even that and working the steps, I felt kind of at a loss that maybe I was doing something wrong, or, you know, the feeling of what's wrong with me that I can't stay abstinent and be recovered as other people have. And I know that I can, but I don't know, like, what's missing. But this kind of gives me the hope, because it says I have to, the most important thing is that I am honest, willing, and open. And if I can do those things, and I think I can do those things, then I am on my way to having that spiritual awakening and that total psychic change. I know there's been changes in me, but obviously it's not enough, because I still feel like, I'm still not doing the step one of being powerless, because I still feel as if I can do this on my own, and I can't. I don't know how many times I have to step out and try this. There's been a number of times that I've stepped out and tried it on my own, and it just doesn't work. So I'm just so grateful, and grateful to come into at a time when you're reading about spirituality, to give me hope that if I stay honest, willing, and open, there's a chance for me to recover as so many millions of others have. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Teresa C. in New Jersey. Okay. Laura V., please share with us. And you'll be followed by Nancy.
Hi, I'm Laura from North Carolina. I just wanted to comment that this thing is happening for me slowly and gradually. I am feeling very afraid every day, and I'm not really quite sure of what I'm afraid of. I think things that are coming down the pike for me, but they're not here yet. I lack confidence, and I'm just overall scared that if I rely 100% on God, then I'll fail, you know, and that's not like a healthy way of looking at things. I know that I have my God, and I believe in my God. I'm just at a point in my life where I am very fearful, and I don't have the confidence that I used to have, or I thought I used to have, you know, in my past. And I'm scared usually all the time. And I'm also having trouble with my food and my abstinence. And I'm just kind of like, I feel like I'm hanging in limbo, you know, and I feel like maybe a marionette on strings. And I feel like any day all those strings are going to pop and I'm going to go crashing to the floor. I just lack the confidence to put one foot in front of the other and say, I know I could do this. I know it because I have God. He's with me. I'm just scared. So I've never had a real spiritual awakening. I guess this thing is going to happen very slowly for me. And I just pray and I go through the steps with a sponsor and I do everything that I have to do and that I want to do. And I still feel afraid and sick to my stomach every day. So I just wanted to share that it's happening slowly for me. Thank you for all your service and all the shares. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you to Laura V. Really appreciate your honesty and vulnerability, and trust that it will come to you as it has to many, many, many people here. Nancy L.J., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Deborah G.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. And for me personally, happy first day of my retirement. I'm actually a retirement retread, and I had my last day yesterday again. But this time, it's on God's terms, I believe, and I'm feel super free and happy today. And this is just a great, great reading. And for me, when I first came into program, I did have that immediate, you know, an overwhelming, quote, God consciousness, you know, but that was out about a year, and I realized, wait a minute, what the heck? When do I get the cake? You know, when do I get the reward for being good? And that was the start of the roller coaster, the ebb and flow. And today, I'm just so grateful that, you know, I'm a work in progress, and I'm okay with that. I just am. I just am. But these steps that I'm currently working again with a lovely new sponsor, they have saved my life. They are saving my life. And this book is so near perfect. I want to say perfect, but I'm just going to say so near perfect. This piece here, he can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. And that is where I can fall in a crevice of intolerance. But the beautiful thing is I notice it immediately. Case in point, the other day I read in the news about a celebrity that had crashed his car, quote, again, and I, you know, probably DUI sort of thing. And I just immediately thought, oh my God, come on, man. How many times do you have to do this? But I'm like, what? Just calm down. This person is struggling and most likely is like you. You know, it's like me, people around me back in the day were, oh, look, she gained that weight back again. You know, it's no different. I'm an addict. I'm sick. And I've got to thank God for this program and steps that I'm living a life beyond my wildest dreams. A day at a time, ebb and flow, imperfect. I'm going to share one more quick thing, and I'm going to wrap up. A smart person in this program said a couple weeks ago, because I'm a fear person, a lot of fear. She said, I am in fear and I am not alone. And I love that. And I've said it a few times because it's okay to be in fear for me. I'm not in fear this morning, I just noticed. Thank you. But I know I'm not alone. I have my higher power, and it's a beautiful place to live. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Nancy L.J. Deborah G., you're up next. Please let us know where you're calling from, and you'll be followed by Wendy M.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for your service. I appreciate you and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're here. And welcome back, Teresa C. It's so good to hear you. And I was reminiscing about contempt prior to investigation with that whole reading. And thank you so much for that reading, Penny L.C., because I get reminded of where I was at with, you know, I wouldn't do it and have a mindset of what I thought already, which wasn't for my benefit. You know, it was always about going against whatever is going to help me. You know, sometimes can still be a tendency of mine. And and then having that awareness, that seeing all of you having done it, that it gave me hope. Just like right now on this line, you're all giving me hope. to continue, to keep on keeping on with whatever experience, you know, taking the actions that I'm doing, with whatever experience that happens with my connectedness with that power, because I still have no power. And to see how that power is going through, you know, being willing to go through, and even having contempt, and still going through. And having the experience that's going to happen to me, but like everyone has shared, you all have shared this and just, again, affirm this for me, that if I just do that, I'm going to have an experience. You know, I just recently I'm going through the steps. I just did my seventh step, and I have a new experience. You know, I feel more connected to that power, and I'm more willing to stay connected and have that power, you know, working in my life, letting go and being with that power. And I see how that power does me. I learned that doing these steps, it's not done by me, it's done to me. So I want to continue doing this. And I'm abstinent, you know, because of it. That's the beauty. Anyways, I love you all so much, and I hope you all have a beautiful rest day.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. Wendy M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Barbara G.
Yeah, good morning, Wendy.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, sure. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you so much, Elaine, for your service and all the shares. You know, the words I love the most, and there's so many good ones here, is that I have undergone a profound alteration in my reaction to life. I love that. That means my life is the same. But the profound alteration, right, the spiritual liberation of my thinking on a good day, on a good day, right? So like, as an example, my reaction to life, when I'm dating someone, I'm a professional at blaming. I'm a professional at pointing out all of their faults. And don't they want to be perfect like Wendy? You know, you need to be like me. So I'm a heat-seeking missile in terms of negativity, negative, 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 right? So here's how the profound alteration works. I can be really negative and really in the blame, and it's super uncomfortable. God makes it that way. My selfishness and self-seeking will kill me. God makes it possible. So I have a design for living where the profound alteration is, holy cow, this isn't working. I'm in self, right? And so instead of that, I can go to my partner. He's scared a lot. He's in fear a lot. And I can say to him, here's the profound alteration. It must be hard to be so scared. How can I help you? What? Wait, who's saying those words, right? Like, that is God entering me and demonstrating through me what God can do. And this happens all the time. And the other piece I love, too, is it says, willing, honest, and open-mindedness. And the other night, I was overeating my abstinent foods. And basically, I was just lying, right? I was like measuring it in my head and telling myself, since it's abstinent, it's okay. Or I went on a 5.5-mile hike, so it's cool. Like, I'm completely, you know, controlling, managing, and lying, right? So then I don't want to tell my sponsor, right? So here's what happened. I told my sponsor immediately, right? So we have to be willing to take actions we're uncomfortable making. I'm a big shot. I know the big book. I'm not going to tell her I overate, you know, my abstinent foods. You know, why would I tell her, right? So this says it requires that I'm willing to pick up that phone, that I'm willing to be honest with somebody, profoundly honest, not just a little bit, not just about that food, but that the other food as well, right? And open-minded. I know nothing. Humility is, I know nothing. Wendy knows zero. That is the, I know nothing about relating to another human being in an intimate relationship. I know nothing about my life. I don't know anything. I must be humble and say, I don't know about anything. Set aside everything I think I know, right? And just God, lead me. God, surprise me. I'll get out of the way. You run the show, right? And we know to do that because it's so uncomfortable when we lie to our sponsor. It's so uncomfortable when we blame and harm people we supposedly love, right? So this program gives me direction right here. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Elaine.
Oh, thank you so much, Wendy M. Okay.
Barbara G. is up next, and then we're going to take another lineup. We're commenting on page 567, appendix 2. It starts with the term spiritual experience and ends with contempt prior to investigation by Herbert Spencer. Please share with us, Barbara, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Yes, hi. Good morning. My name is Barbara G., and I am calling from Davis, California. And I woke up this morning not feeling very well physically, and responses, instinctual responses were fear. And I would say basically mostly fear. But thank God today, I know that I cannot run according to my own thinking, my own power, because I have very little. And as I was reminded this morning during the meeting, because I have no power, I need to have a greater power than myself. This is what the spiritual experience of the paragraph is reminding me. So this morning, because I've been practicing this program for a while, I immediately turn to that power through prayer. And I was given the power, the fear has dropped. And I have entered, as has been repeatedly reminded this morning, into that complete transformation of the mind. And I'm finding myself at ease with the tons of things and commitments that lie ahead of me, knowing that all I can do is do 1 hour at a time, tapping into a power greater than myself. This at the beginning would have been impossible, but if I can be here where I am today, it's because, I have so much gratitude for my sponsor and for her patience, because what's in this Herbert Spencer's quote, the necessity to keep an open mind, not to judge, to be open to change, it was so impossible to me at the beginning. For me, at the beginning, like for many, because I know I'm no special, although I'm unique as everyone else. And it's always been through the step work, a process of being open to be uncomfortable, because going through, you know, openness and willingness, it has always made me feel very uncomfortable. New things make me feel uncomfortable, but it's like a muscle. That's what my sponsor always told me, and that's how she invited me to keep remaining open. If you just train it as a muscle, it then becomes, you know, it knows how to do its work. So I'm extremely grateful to start the day with a meeting and with you all and with your shares and with the blessings that this program has, a condition that I work it. And I'm done. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you so much. All right. Let's see. Wendy, I'm already sure. Okay. I think we have time for about 3 more shares, possibly 4 more shares.
Eileen M.
Mary Frances W.
Mary Frances W. One more? Okay, well, let's go with Eileen M. and Mary Frances. Please share with us, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And I just love this last line that says contempt prior to investigation. Oh, gosh, that really jumps out at me today. Because, you know, having contempt is an attitude. You know, it's part of, I had to let go of my old ideas, my old attitudes. You know, and what is ignorance? Ignorance is like lack of knowledge. It's like, you know, it's like a, you know, this contempt is refusal to look into something that might be helpful. You know, it's really, it's a lack of open-mindedness, really, that they're talking about. You got to have open-mindedness. And I also think of contempt as like a lack of faith and a lack of trust. You know, it's like a fearful way to live your life. And I think it's a quality of addicts to have like a closed mind, you know, and think that, oh, yeah, that won't work for me. Yeah, it's like your first thought. Oh, I'm not going to do that. That's not going to work, you know. And, yeah, you know, did I think, you know, I was so unique that this wouldn't work for me? You know, it's so interesting. I was just talking with a new sponsee this morning, and I was, you know, reassuring her that this recovery is available to anybody. I mean, that was said earlier in this meeting, is that anybody can get this. You know, the big book says that the realm of the spirit is roomy and all-inclusive, never exclusive. I just love that line because, you know, it's just that, you know, saying that it's available to whoever takes the actions. You know, if you do the actions that we did, you can get what we have. I love that concept because it's the truth, you know, and it's just changing my attitude, you know, looking into things. I've often, like, used this line and asked myself, you know, in my inventories, it's like, do I approach life like this? Do I say, oh, that's not going to work for me, you know, before I've even looked into it? And, yeah, it's just a completely different way to live is changing that attitude. So, you know, if you're struggling out there, just believe it. Just, you know, write it down if you have to. I can recover, just like these other people on the line. So, you can also be free. So thanks so much, Elaine.
Thank you so much, Eileen. Nice to hear you. Okay. Mary Frances, please share with us. Let us know where you're calling
from. Good morning, Elaine. This is Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania, recovered compulsive overeater. First time I said that. And I am just so full of love and gratitude for my sponsors as I've been going through this process since November. And I have been blessed with many experiences and also awakenings through this process. And, you know, I'm experiencing this all now, and I just feel so full of God's love and protection and power. This started, I think, when I finished my fourth and fifth step. I had been trying to do this so many times and could never get past those steps. And when I got through with the fifth step, it was like, Lord, you help me. I got through the fifth step and then had the courage and power to continue. And it got even stronger when I made my amends to my family, my husband and my two children, that for the first time, I was able to really, really see my part and how my disease affected them all these years. And that they forgave me and were very gracious about it. And also now with the living amends, it's so interesting to me that I can catch myself, and it's only through God's power, when I'm about to say something that I would have said to my husband in the past that would have been cutting or sarcastic, and even with my children. And I know this sounds simplistic, but let go and let God. When I remember to do that, I'm not in charge. God's in charge, and He affects this change in me. He is making me a better person. I am feeling like I'm a better person, like I'm worthy, which, you know, I haven't felt a lot in my lifetime. So I guess that's all I have been really concerned about being on a pink cloud because I've experienced pink cloud before. And I spoke with a very, very dear friend yesterday that said to me, we know what a pink cloud is. She said, I know you. To me, this sounds like you're experiencing God consciousness. And that was such a blessing. I needed to hear that. So with that, I pass. And thank you, everybody, for your shares and for your service.
Thank you very much, Mary Frances. And
We have time for one more share. Who'd like to take it?
Hillary B.
Thank you, Hillary. Carol, please tell us. I'm sorry, where did you say you're calling from?
Carol,
California. Okay. We just have time for one more, so please share with us, Hillary.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone who shared. Thank you for leading a great meeting, as usual. And I also want to mention contempt prior to investigation because it kept me from recovery for decades. And I knew that I knew better, and I wasn't able to fully commit because then I would have to give up the food. And giving up the food does not give me a spiritual experience. But giving up the food is what I have to do first in order to do the work to have a spiritual experience. And willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are essentials. And I thought, like I told myself, I'm willing, I'm honest, oh, I'm definitely open-minded. And I didn't know that I wasn't willing, I wasn't honest, I was totally dishonest and a lot of denial, and I wasn't open-minded. I thought I was open-minded because politically I thought I was open-minded. I don't know. But to be so lost and giving up the food is just the beginning, but it's a foundation. And without doing that, I can't see where I'm blocking God. I can't see where I have no God. I can't see where I am not even willing or interested in following God's will, because then I have to give up the food. And the food is my joy, my entertainment, my happiness, my relief, my what keeps me, what enables me to deny my what I'm truly lost in. I love this reading. I love this reading so much, and I'm glad that this meeting does include that in the reading of the paragraphs. And I am so grateful. My life has been totally changed only inside of me, and nothing's changed on the outside. And yet some of my relationships have changed and become better. They bring me more joy and happiness because I'm more open to God's will and to lessons and to seeing my flaws. And, you know, I bought this food the other day that is not an alcoholic food for me, but it gave me heartburn, and I have not had heartburn in the 3 years that I've been abstinent. And what? Did I break my abstinence? I have heartburn. This is unbelievable. So I just threw out that food. I think that's what caused it. It has a lot of salt. So I just threw it out. That is not me. That's part of the miracle of recovery. The miracle that I, who that's a food I really, really like a lot. And I was able not to give it a second thought. When it caused me heartburn, it's an alcoholic food, and I ain't buying it ever again for today. So thank you. I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you very much, Hillary B. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I am Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Franklin, Tennessee. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you